But Mike Kliss is on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline with us. Mike, welcome back to the show. Happy Friday. We'll circle back to Broncos here because one of the first segments of the show, I said to Phil, I said, if Bo Nix doesn't start week one for the Broncos, it will be a red flag for me. Not a damning judgment, but it will be a red flag. And my theory as to why, I got four different legs of a chair that are holding up this theory. Number one, you're talking about the most experience in the entire history of college football. No one has started 54 games. Bo Nix has started over 60. The general manager, as my second leg, George Payton, says this guy is, quote, game ready at 24 years old and 61 starts. The third layer of this is Sean Payton's offense. Yeah, it's hard for a rookie, but they just fall over themselves talking about Bo Nix's processing, and he's got 4 months to get up to speed, not 4 weeks. And then the fourth leg of the chair, well, I believe Bo Nix should be starting for the Broncos week one, and if it's not, it's a red flag, is the competition is Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson. There is no Brett Favre holding this seat. There is no Alex Smith holding this seat. And for all those reasons, Bo Nix should be the starter week one. What do you think?
Yeah, maybe he should. And you make good points on all that. Having said all that, I don't think he's going to go into OTAs running with the ones. I don't think he's going to go into training camp running with the ones. So you're going to have to push him past the other guys. And the other guys, even though he is all those things that you're talking about, the other guys have still played more. And I know the competition isn't great, but Zach Wilson has started 3 years.
Right.
And Jarrett Stidham has been in the league 5 years with four starts, which, thin as that resume may be, playing time-wise, it's still more than Bo Nix, and there's still a chance those guys outplay him in training camp and outplay him in the preseason. I still think the Broncos should be careful and not necessarily make him the day one starter. I would bet that he's the game one starter. But I still think there's that's a slight bet. I would go with Zach Wilson as the guy with a slightly better chance to start game one. I think that's why they acquired him, and just didn't keep Stidham. I outlined it today, by the way, guys, the contract situation. When you look at Zach Wilson's contract and when you look at Jarrett Stidham's contract, it's going to be much harder to cut Zach Wilson than it is Jarrett Stidham. And so I would go with Zach Wilson for a couple games, and Bo Nix will start this year. I'm just not, I'm giving him the grace of training camp in the preseason, his first professional preseason, before they have to anoint him as a starter.
Smart man, Mike. Smart man. Zach wants to throw the young man into the wolves.
He's not that young of a man.
He's a baby. He wants to go with grown men. And with that being said, okay, you don't have the weapons around you right now, especially at the tight end position. Mike, why did we not draft a tight end?
They wanted to. First of all, they wanted to sign one in free agency. I'm not sure who, but they all came in. Their market went higher than they were ready to go. When you remember in free agency, they were on a budget. They did not spend much in free agency. Yeah. Sam Darnold went to $10 million. They said no. So that told you right there that they didn't have cash to burn and salary, more importantly, salary cap to burn. So they came up short in free agency, and then they like Brock Bowers. He would have been in play if Bo Nix wasn't there at 12. I think Latu of UCLA, Bowers, probably a trade back, had, when Penix went number 8 to Atlanta and everybody got frantic, what happens if the Raiders jump him for Nix? Had that happened, I think the Broncos would have traded back, but by the way. After Bowers, they didn't see anybody in the middle rounds
that had Dulcich's skill set, had the type of guy they wanted. They have Troutman as their starter. And, you know, Dulcich, to me, has a, you know, maybe he can be a Julius Thomas, guys. Yeah. Julius Thomas could not cure a foot injury, a stubborn foot injury, for 2 years when he came out of Portland State. This is 2011. And then in 2013, with Peyton Manning, he took off, had 12 touchdowns. The following year, he had 12 touchdowns in 9 games, and then got hurt again. So maybe Dulcich in year three, you know, they saved just a little bit. They wanted another guy like him. They did. It didn't work out draft-wise. They had other needs. And so I think one of the tight ends that they liked went off the board between Nix and Jonah Ellis in the third round. And so they just decided to you know, maybe the Troutman do a lot of three receiver sets, right? I mean, that's what you can do. They got a lot of receivers now.
Yeah.
After adding Josh Reynolds, and drafting Troy Franklin. So maybe a lot of three receiver, one tight end sets here for Sean Payton in 2024.
Mike Kliss with us on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline as we hang out live from Teller's Tap Room in Lakewood on a Friday. Mike, I think it was noticeable last week when the camera would show the Broncos drafting throughout the entire weekend that Greg Penner was in there along with his wife. And
yeah,
I think that is low key, and it is low key. I think it's a big deal. I do. And
yeah,
like when things are now happening, like at training camp, like Greg Penner's out at training camp nearly every single day. He was there for every single pick in the war room. And when we're trying to find stability as a franchise, I believe it always starts with ownership, and him being physically present, it just casts a shadow of accountability over an entire room. What do you think?
Yeah, he did that last year, too, by the way. He stayed in the draft room for every pick last year and again this year. And I have talked to him about it, and it's two things. One, Greg is, I mean, he's a sponge. And, you know, I'm not sure how much he knew about the inner workings of the NFL before he bought the team. I'm guessing, you know, like everybody else, probably not as much as he thought.
Right.
But he is learning everything that he can now. He is all in. He talks to Sean Payton and George Payton all the time. George Payton, you know, was with him a lot and, you know, during practice. And Greg's one of those guys that asks questions.
Right.
You know, he's not afraid to admit he doesn't know what he doesn't know. And the other thing that he likes about it, guys, that I think – is and you kind of touched on it, he likes to see how everyone's working together.
Exactly.
You know, he likes to see how Sean Payton and George Payton are working. That's why everyone was saying George Payton, you know, when there was a lot of heat on George Payton, Greg Penner likes the way he and Sean Payton work together. And Sean is a dynamic, sometimes bombastic type personality. Who's, I imagine, there are times when you feel like you have to walk on eggshells around that building.
Yep.
George knows how to handle it and how to, you know, how to work along with Sean. So he notices all that, and he's, as far as I know, he's satisfied with how well the whole operation is working. And that's why he's in there, is to see for himself and get a feel for what football department is doing.
Mike, Courtland Sutton. Does Courtland Sutton get a contract done before camp, after camp? Does he get one at all?
Good question. I would say before camp, the answer is no. Mm. I don't think the Broncos are right now of the mindset of wanting to redo his deal. You know, it's $13 million plus. You know, yes, he caught a lot of touchdowns last year. He was tied for fourth. Yes, he's a leader on that team. He's one of the few leaders they kept and held over. Yes, some of his numbers are down because he's had so many head coaches, offensive coordinators, and quarterbacks during his 5-6 years with the Broncos. But still, you know, the production kind of measures up right now. You take away all the excuses, the production still matches up with the pay. There's 2 years left. The other thing is, you know, the timing is such they've got other guys that are kind of higher on the priority list. Pat Surtain, Quinn Meinerz, even Garrett Bowles is in the final year of his contract. And if you set a precedent, if you do bump Courtland a couple million, and maybe that's the answer here before it's all said and done, maybe you increase the guarantee before all is said and done. The next day, Garrett Bowles is in George Payton's office. You know, right? I mean, you know how this works.
And Bowles, and so you got to be. And Cliff Bowles doesn't have a dime of guaranteed money left.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, it's a little scary doing. I understand. It's one of those things where I do understand where Courtland's coming from. I understand the Broncos' position here. This is something where two rights can be a wrong, and the wrong being Courtland Sutton's not at OTAs with Bo Nix, and that's unfortunate.
It is, and it's a impactful absence. And my thing is that, you know, he gets signed, Courtland Sutton, who's been one of my favorite Broncos, so please don't misunderstand me. He gets signed and doesn't produce in a meaningful way and collects that money over the course of, you know, Sutton hauled in 4 total touchdowns over the course of 3 years. He had a really good year. He did. You know, was he Justin Jefferson? No. I mean, the guy was 57th in receptions and 44th in yards and 90th in yards per catch. The touchdowns were awesome and impactful, but goodness, there's a part of this that I was just like, I don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah, I think what's kind of exacerbated his position, he's been better than Jerry Jeudy, right? Jeudy gets traded, and he gets this 3-year, 58 or 50-something million dollar extension where he's getting paid $19 million this year.
Yeah.
Darnell Mooney with the Bears, the last 2 years had 31 and 40 catches, and he's making $17.5 million. This year. And so there's some receivers that he's better than who are making more than he is. And the other thing is too, and during the voluntary portion, staying away, you know, there's nothing hurt. Other than they do have a rookie quarterback now. You take that factor away, I guess, there's nothing hurt. It'll be interesting to see if he carries on through the where he can get fined $100,000 in the mandatory minicamp.
Yeah.
And right now, I wouldn't be surprised if he does skip that mandatory minicamp and see if he can't. Because that's really the only time there's real pressure. There's no pressure now because it's voluntary. The pressure comes if he stays away from the mandatory minicamp. And I don't think there's going to be a budge on the Broncos before that.
I don't think there should be. That's just my humble opinion. Mike Kliss, as always, we appreciate your time, my friend. Have a great weekend, and we'll do this again next Friday.
Hey, enjoy Tellers. That's a great place. It's really great on the weekends when you can have the breakfast and the bloodies. So say hi to everybody there.
Breakfast and bloodies is my middle name, my friend. We will do that for you, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you guys.
All right, there he goes. That is Mike Kliss.